We thank you, Lord, we worship you with our finances too. Lord, not only our finances, Lord, we can worship you with our very lives, Lord. With the very words that come out of our mouth, the touch of our hands, Lord, with our feet when we take this. Father, we pray this morning that you have prepared the Holy Spirit, the hearts of every person that's coming out to the sanctuary this morning, Lord, to hear your word, Lord. I pray, Father God, that this word is directly from your heart. I pray that I can deliver it in love, Lord. I thank you, Father, that you have saved in love, Lord. Lord, it is not by power, nor by might, but by your Holy Spirit, that this seed will grow, Lord, to mighty, mighty trees of life. So we just want to give you the honor, Lord Jesus. We want to declare that you are the guest of honor here this morning. Fly your name above our lives and above this church for all to see, Father. Flood our hearts with your love and your light. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, worship team. Thank you so much, worship team. They blessed us, as Kat said. They got up early this morning to be here. When I was growing up, I remember someone once said to me, we can never be too rich or too beautiful. And I just want to say something different to that. I don't think that you can ever have enough light in your life. So Jesus, we open up our hearts this morning and ask for your light to flood into it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I just want to get one small administrative mention out of the way. It really doesn't affect anyone very materialistically. As you know, Shofar Franchuk used to be part of the Boland region, and I always say Boland, and that's probably why they have annexed us out of the Boland region. No, it's not really. but we no longer feel part of the Boland region. Somerset West is now an official church. It's got its own pastor. So the leaders in our church have wisely decided to start a new region, and that region is actually called Stellenbosch. And then the Stellenbosch region falls Somerset West, obviously our Stellenbosch church, which is our main church, Franschhoek, and our newly starting Valdevie church. So we are, and Cootersville. So that's the new region that we fall under. What it really means is that we now draw our support from that region, as opposed to Paul and Malmesbury and the other region we were in previously. But it's really exciting. I mean, it means that our church is growing. And as you know, it's 6th of February, Valdevie services are starting. And it's a great honor and privilege to be part of that, and for your prayers, for all of us to be part of that. I was actually there. I believe my wife took care of you last week very nicely. I heard great reports back, so thank you, Kat. I was there with Karen doing a baby dedication. And I love baby dedications. I love weddings and I love funerals, because it gives the person bringing the word an opportunity to share some gospel and truth to people who don't normally come to church. And on Sunday, last Sunday, there were some very, very religiously churched people. And there were some people that had never been to church. And I got an opportunity to just share. And it was beautiful. The Lord was so there. I mean, I just give all the praise and the honor to Him, because, you know, He's so faithful. He's always with us. And when we just offer ourselves to Him, He is faithful. He's so faithful. A nice thing about Valdevie is, it actually happened this week. We went on Wednesday just to have a prayer meeting, because we meet every Wednesday. And they'd had a Jewish wedding the Tuesday before. So there were all these flowers left over. And Kat and I basically went to them and said, are you throwing these flowers away? So they said, you can have them. So we basically boxed all these flowers and we brought them to the old age home here at Fleur-de-Lis. And I just sense that that's kind of the spirit of Valdivia. It's very giving, very generous. And praise God for allowing us to operate a church from there. Another thing that we've been praying for, and I know some of you have been praying for, and what God has answered our prayers, is our youth. As you know, David, he unfortunately, or fortunately, I say fortunately for him because he's extending his career, he left Franschhoek a couple of months back, and he was running youth, and no one has yet stood up to take his place. You'll notice Kat spoke about those orange posters. You'll notice no one put their name under youth last week. But anyway, God is faithful, as I said. We're praying. I'm like, Lord, help us, please. Raise someone up. Send someone to us. Any of you ask here, a guy by the name of Jeremy from the Anglican Church, who walks into my office and he says, I'm looking for a youth venue. Anyway, one thing leads to the next. And I'm not sure if you know, but we have a fantastic relationship with Gavin Mitchell, who runs the Anglican Church. And we're going to be starting youth every Friday night here at this church between 7 and 9:30. So, praise God. At the beginning, obviously, I've had a lot of meetings with Jeremy. I will be there definitely the first few weeks. And God has already been faithful to raise up someone from our side. Herod Stander. There he is. Thank you, Herod, for... He will be representing Shafar on a more regular basis at those youth meetings. Okay, that's some of my announcements out the way. I have a message this morning, which is entitled Steps to Greatness. Steps to Greatness. Whenever I think... Oh, sorry, the kids. The kids may be excused for a children's church. Thank you so much. For those who haven't already left the building. Thank you so much. Steps to Greatness. Whenever I think of the city of Paris, one of the greatest cities in the world, the first picture that comes to my mind's eye is the Eiffel Tower. Now, the Eiffel Tower stands some 324 meters high. And it fluctuates. It fluctuates by 15 centimeters depending on the weather. Obviously, if it's cold, the metal contracts and it's a bit shorter. If it's hot, the metal warms up and it's a bit taller. Now, its construction was completed in 1888, and at that time, it was the tallest man-made structure in the entire world. On a clear day, at the top of the Eiffel Tower, you can see across the city of Paris, a 70-kilometer vision. So that's the view you get. Now, to get to the top of that tower, there's an elevator. It's the easy way up. Up the elevator to the top. But there's a much more difficult way to the top, and that is the stairs. 1,789 of them. And those represent each year leading up to the French Revolution, 1789. So the 1889 construction was actually a celebration, 100 years they were celebrating since the French Revolution. So, 1,787 steps to the top of the Eiffel Tower. I visited Paris for the first time about 10 years ago. And because, as I said, in my mind, the Eiffel Tower represents Paris, I wanted to go up. So there I went, a friend of mine, we went up to the Eiffel Tower. And as we got there, I saw this huge queue snaking all the way around and down the park. The queue was actually longer than the height of the tower. And I walked up to the front where there was a tour operator giving some instructions. And He announced that the wait to get up to the top of the tower by elevator would be 2, possibly 2.5 hours. I was bitterly disappointed. I was gutted. I didn't want to wait around for 2.5 hours. But then with a smile on his face, the tour operator said, "But if you're willing to take the steps, there's no one. There's no one." So a huge smile breaks out on my face. As you know, I love to mountain climb, so those steps was just part of just a man-made mountain to me. Many people were willing to wait the 2.5 hours. And I don't know. Is it worth expending the effort? Hold that thought. Hold that thought while I take you across the Atlantic to the great country of the USA, the United States of America. If you go to Wall Street in New York, well, you know Wall Street, it's like the financial capital, one of the financial capitals. If you go to Wall Street and you ask them this question, how do you become great? You ask Wall Street, how do you become great? They will say, make money, and lots of it. You then take a little trip down to Washington, D.C., go to Capitol Hill, and ask Washington, D.C., how do you become great? They will say, gain political power and lots of it. Travel across to Los Angeles and go to Hollywood and ask Hollywood that same question. How do you become great? They will answer, get fame and lots of it. So the world's opinion of being great is money, power, fame. I ask you this question, that same question this morning. How do you become great? Success and greatness in the kingdom of God is different from the world we live in. It's very different from the world we live in. After the mother of the disciples, John and James, asked Jesus to reserve them a seat of honor on his left and on his right in his great kingdom, the disciples started to squabble. Do you remember that story? Let me remind you. Because it was at this time that the greatest man that ever lived said something radical. Very radical. And it's still radical today. It was radical then, and it's still radical today. And this is what he said. Jesus says in Matthew 20:26, whoever wants to become great must serve others. Whoever wants to be great must be a servant to others. I'll say it again. Whoever wants to be great must be a servant to others. In the kingdom of God, there's no easy way. Remember the Eiffel Tower? There's an easy elevator to the top. There's no easy elevator to the top of God's kingdom. To get to the top in God's eyes, we have to take the steps of service. And those are multiple steps. The statement Jesus said, whoever wants to be great must be a servant to others, is in my opinion one of the most incredible statements he ever made. Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of God, the Son of God, the Son of God. His disciples called him Lord. His disciples called him Master. This same Jesus, the one person who should serve nobody and everybody should serve, continues by saying the following. Verse 27. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and give his life a ransom for so many. Wow. Jesus is describing leadership from a completely new perspective. Instead of using people as the world tells us, he's telling us to serve them. Not use people, serve them. A real leader is a servant and has a servant heart. Servant leaders appreciate the worth of other people. They appreciate the worth of other people. And they realize that they're not above any job. They're not above any job. If they see something that needs to be done, they do it without asking. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many, Jesus' attitude is not to see what we can do for him, but what he can do for us. His mission was to serve us and give up his life. Give his life away for us. That is his mission, to serve us and give his life away. I don't know about you, but I noticed something pretty extraordinary about Jesus. An amazing heart. Notice his heart of service, his heart of love. Incredible attitude. Attitude of love. Attitude of service. An amazing spirit. The secret to greatness in the kingdom of God is, listen to this, the secret to greatness in the kingdom of God is not how many servants you have, but what kind of servant you are. Not how many servants you have, but what kind of servant you are. I want to ask you a question this morning, and I ask it with love. Are you more interested in being served by this church or being a servant in the church? A teacher at a school asks her class a question. She says, "What do you do at home to help out?" So the answers start to come in one by one. A little boy sticks up his hand and says, "I wash the car." Another little girl sticks up her hand and says, "I feed the dog." Another little one comes forward and says, "I make my bed." Everybody brings answers, but there's one little boy at the back. So the teacher says, "Johnny." So there's a Johnny. "Johnny, what do you do to help around the house?" Johnny pipes up and says, "I stay out the way." That's a joke. It's a joke, but it represents the hearts of many people who come to church. Many people in this church, many people in other churches. They just stay out of the way. Now, they did a poll, they did a survey, and they found that only 10% of church members actively serve in any type of ministry. Now, that's quite shocking. But what's more shocking is that the 50% who don't serve are quite happy not to serve. They have no intention to serve in the church. I know Franchuk's not like that. On Wednesday morning, I got invited to go to Franchuk School here to open up the assembly. I got phoned the night before, or the evening before, and said, "Oh, we forgot to tell you, you are going to be opening, can you open the service?" I said, "Yes, of course." I didn't know, I'd never done it before, so I didn't know what to expect. So I said, "How long do I have?" So they said, 20 to 30 minutes. So I thought, that's quite long, I need to prepare something. Anyway, I go there prepared the next morning. And again, I asked the secretary, I said, "How long do I have?" So she says, 20 to 30 minutes. So I thought, okay, that's fine. So I've got like 30 minutes in my head, okay? I go up to the headmaster, Jan Silwells, who I've actually built quite a good relationship. We pray probably once a month together. Fantastic guy, trying really hard. Anyway, I said to him, "So Jan, how long do I have? What's the program this morning?" So he says, "No, I'll introduce you. You've got like 5 to 10 minutes, and the whole service will be 30 minutes. So I'm like, okay, I'm sitting here with this wad of notes, okay? So I'm up right at the beginning. He introduces, welcomes the school, and says, "The introduction, here's the pastor from Shafar Franchuk." So I stand there with this wad of notes, and I'm like, "I actually have a 30 minutes message to give you, but I believe I've only got between 5 and 10, so let's just throw these away." And I began to share with him. And one thing I shared with him can actually be very applicable and equally applied to this church. Now this is what I shared with him. I said, "School is not about this building. School is actually not even about your headmaster, Jan Siliers, or your head prefects sitting up here. It's not even about your teachers. Yes, sure, all of these things play a part in the school. But school is about every single one of you in here. Every single student represents the school. Every single church member represents the church. Church is not about this building. Church is not about this building. It's not about this property. Church is not about me and Kat. In fact, church is not even about Fred and Lucille Mayer, senior pastors in Stellenbosch. Church is not about your small group facilitator or your zone coach. Church is about every single person in this room. Every single person in this room. Every one of us. It's part of this church. We represent the church. Here at Shofar Church, being part of the eternal body of Jesus' eternal church, we believe every member is a servant. Every member is a servant and should be involved in some form of service or ministry. As individual and unique as God made us, as you sang that song at the beginning, how we are knitted in our mother's womb, every single one of us has a specific calling and made up specifically with a set of gifts that Kat spoke about last Sunday. Do you remember she highlighted at the end of the sermon, I believe, the gifts. These are your strengths, God-given strengths, God-given gifts. Know that your ministry, whatever form or shape it takes, will evolve around these strengths and around these gifts. I was on Wednesday evening at small group. Kat had set a short test, to help people discern or find out where their strengths and gifts lie. So I was with Johnny Willingham's small group in Hrindale on Wednesday evening, and I happened to partner with Teresa. I don't know, there she is. Hi Teresa, the way I won't embarrass you. But I want to just use Teresa as an example. We wrote a piece of paper with the strength, well, most of you did it, but for those who went to small group, basically you partnered with somebody who knew you, and you would write the strengths on a piece of paper that you think you have. You then hand over the piece of paper to someone else, and they write the strengths that they think you have. Then you do a compare, and basically the ones that are the same are generally your strengths or your gifts. Teresa's strengths and gifts were hospitality and mercy. Mercy being caring for others. You know what the most beautiful thing is? Teresa's already using her gifts. For those of you may or may not know, Teresa goes to the Crumbel Clinic every week. She goes to the clinic and she feeds. She cooks with the help of others. She cooks and she feeds every single patient in the clinic. Praise God for Teresa. Praise God for Teresa. And Teresa, I don't want to, please don't take this as any sign of disrespect. Teresa's not the wealthiest lady in this town. She's not. But she's willing to be used by God. Everybody's ministry is going to look very different, as unique as you are. No one looks like you physically. No one will have a ministry like you. I'll give you another example. My brother-in-law, Peter, an amazing, amazing man. Brother-in-law, he's Kat's sister's husband. He has a mighty, mighty calling on his life. And you know what that is? To make money. He is gifted at making money. He is rich. But you know what? He is giving. He supports ministry after ministry after ministry. And God sees him. God sees him supporting the gifts of other people and the strengths of other people. And you know what God does? He gives him more. More than he can actually handle. Well, not quite as much as he can handle. Peter's a very good steward. And God has built him up slowly over the years. He just didn't give him an amazing business on day one. He built his stewardship one step at a time. One step at a time. Everyone's ministry and service will be unique. Everyone's. Whoever wants to be great must must be a servant to others. Now I say must twice, but I actually want to come against that must a little bit. Not against it, I just want to explain it. And I actually explain it by reading out the following passage. Listen to this. Christ likeness leads to servanthood. Servanthood is not slavery. It's not slavery. You never should be forced to serve. Never be forced to serve. Servanthood is voluntary, motivated from within by the love of God. Servanthood is voluntary, motivated from within by the love of God. Servanthood is not mandated by the style and systems or manipulation or suppression, pressure, guilt or demand. It's none of these things. If you're going to serve because you feel guilty, don't serve. If you're going to serve because I tell you to serve, don't serve. Serve because, as it says earlier, motivated from within by the love of God. Servanthood is not cultish. It's Christ-like. Service should always be done in the spirit of Jesus, who, listen to this, who, being endowed with the heaven's complete authority, chose to take the form of a student. Let me repeat that. Service should always be done in the spirit of Jesus, who, being endowed with heaven's complete authority, chose to take the form of a servant. This morning, I would like to invite two people up here. They are the type of leaders that Jesus talks about. They have massive, massive servant hearts. I'm sure many of you have been served by them. Many of you have been ministered by them. So today, because they're already operating in that function, we would like to put a title to it. We would like to officially ordinate Johnny and Delesti Ball as our elders of this church. Would you come up, please? Okay, there's some official stuff that I need to read and Kat needs to read off the slides. And I'm reading it because it's really put very beautifully. So between Kat and I, we will tag team this. She's going to start with the scripture.
Acts 20:28. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood.
It is our belief that the calling to the Christian ministry and to the particular sphere of service is both of God and the church. The church must diligently seek God's will, and this is confirmed by God-given inner conviction on the part of Johnny and Delesti. For so much as we believe that you are acting in obedience to the call of God, we really do, we believe that you are acting in obedience to the call of God. It seems needless to ask for any further assurance of your faith. We know where your hearts are. We know how long you've been serving God. But in order that you may yourself realize the solemn trust you have undertaken, and that this congregation may better understand your mind and your will, we are going to ask you questions, which in the name of Christ and his church we address to you. Do you believe in one God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Yes. Do you confess the new Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you believe in your heart that you are truly called of God to the eldership of this church? Will you serve Christ in this church with love and consideration? Will you seek to extend the kingdom of God and endeavor to make it grow in an apostolic fashion as you have been called to here do? Okay.
The pastor's charge to the congregation in 1 Thessalonians 5:12 reads, "And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their works' sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Do you members of this church?
It's okay, she took my part. Do you members of this church acknowledge and receive these elders? That is a question I'm asking you. Promising them all the due honor and support in the Lord. If your answer is yes, stand to signify this. Amen. Amen. Thank you. We're just going to pray for Johnny and Celestia, our brand new elders in this church. So,
you can just stretch out your hands.
If you can all just stand as we pray for them, please. Thank you. Oh, blessed Lord, it is my God and such awe and privilege, Lord, that I pray for these two people, Lord God, who I revere and respect so much, God. Lord, we want to honor them as firstly your children, God, because they are such a reflection of you, Lord. We can see your genes in them, Lord. We can see your mannerisms in them, Lord God. We can see your heart, Lord God, that is so humble, Lord, yet so strong and courageous, God. Father, I pray that, Lord, that you would inspire in them a new vision, Lord God, one that will astound them, Lord. Lord, I know that you've brought them from place to place, God, and you've shown them your glory time and time again. But Lord, I pray for something that would blow them away, God. Father, in these times, Lord, I pray that they would know their calling is for a time such as this, God, that everything that they've experienced to this very moment, Lord, has been for this moment, Lord. And Father, I thank you that you give them every gifting, Father God, every ability and will, God, to do that which you have called them to do, Lord. Lord, I thank you there will be no confusion then as they lead this flock, Lord, as they encourage, as they rebuke, as they love, as they admonish, Lord, as they treat us like their very own children, Lord. Lord, we want to honor them this day, Lord. Honor them and lift them, Lord God, into a position that they deserve to be in there. Lord, as they've served with their hearts, Lord, we want to serve them. So I thank you, Father, that this very day, God, that this brings joy to your heart, Lord. As a family, God, that we honor our elders, Lord. That we respect them, Lord. In Jesus' name, thank you for your blessing upon them, Lord. Thank you that they will run and not grow weary.
Yes, Lord, we just thank you so much for bringing Johnny and Delesti to this specific ministry at this precise moment in time, Lord. We know that this is not by some random chance, Lord, but by divine purpose, Father. We thank you, Father, that as they continue to serve this community, Lord, you will pour out the blessings of abundance into their lives, Lord. But Lord, we're not talking about any physical blessing, Lord. We're talking about a spiritual closeness and intimacy with you, Lord. Lord, as they serve the people, Lord, let them understand your heart more and more each day, Father. We thank you, Father, that we can just launch them into this position, Lord. But as they stand here, Lord, you will pour out all the wisdom of heaven into their hearts, Lord. We thank you, Father, that you will give them discernment of spirits so that they will see beyond the flesh, Lord. They will see directly into the hearts of people and situations, Lord. That they will not be confused, Lord. That the veil will never cover their eyes. They will not be blind, Lord. But your Holy Spirit, we pray that you guide them in everything that they do. So we just want to honor them today, Lord, as our elders in this church, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Our Father, I thank you such a privilege for this fellowship to have these mighty souls of the Lord as our elders.
Amen.
So this couple has started this church only 25 years ago, and now we have honored the Lord for their tremendous application, Lord, of this community. And so, Father, I believe as people in the life of most of the children of fellowship, that we are so grateful that you have made them elders in this church. In Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Ja,
praise the Lord for what He's done in our lives. And we just want to say to you that we really want to commit ourselves to serving you, and we have been blessed to be a blessing. So open your hearts for us, and from time to time we come and visit you at home, and to know you better. And may we together build the kingdom of God here in front of you. Amen.
I just want to say it's so wonderful to stand here, and I just want to tell you that our house and our door, front door and back door, is open for you. What I want to say to you is that we pray together separately, but our prayer times as a couple is in the mornings from 6:30, and we do it on our stoop, which is part of the garden. If you want to be there, if you want to soundboard, if you need prayer or anything, you just come. What I say to you now, we say to our kids when we're on holiday, we pray at 6:30, you're most welcome. God bless you.
So Johnny, and bless you, your family has grown from 6 children to 186 children. Nice. The Lord was preparing you. I've got another question to ask this morning. Is there anyone in this church who feels forgotten? I actually like rows of hands, and it's time for honesty this morning. Is there anyone who feels forgotten? Nobody bad enough. Alright? Who feels that they are served by this church? Put up your hands. Who feels that they are served by this church? Okay. So that means the people who didn't put up their hands don't feel very served. And that's okay. It's okay. Please, I need two volunteers of people who didn't put up their hands that second time, who don't feel served by this church. Can I just see a show of hands? It's not to put you on a list or anything. Please, I don't want anybody. Okay, we're going to have to go for a volunteer. Two volunteers. One man, one woman. Volunteer. Anybody. You can feel served or unserved in this church. Looking for two volunteers to help me. There we go. Perfect. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Fiona. Thank you, William. Okay. Remember, Jesus was a model servant. And He showed us His servant heart by example to His disciples. Kat, can we get one chair this side? One chair this side, please.
Okay.
Wow, check that servant heart. As I said, Jesus was a model servant, and by example, He showed a servant heart, a servant attitude, and a servant spirit. One of the most powerful, in my opinion, one of the most powerful displays and demonstrations of His love and His servant-heartedness is seen in one particular scripture. You may take a seat. So one particular scripture really demonstrates Jesus' love and His heart of service, His spirit of service, His attitude of service. Before I recall the story, in fact I'll recall the story, it's John chapter 13. Jesus approached the disciples in the upper room as they were going to the Last Supper, and to their complete surprise, He was wearing a towel and carrying a bowl of water. Before I refresh your memory with the scripture, I want to just put the setting in biblical times. There are no cars, there are no bicycles, there are no motorbikes in Jesus' time. People used to either walk, would go by donkey or by horse or camel sometimes. As you know, animals poop. They make a mess. because people had to walk these long dusty roads, they often walked in animal poop. Also remember, this is the Middle East. It's hot. It's very, very hot in the Middle East. So what do people do? They wear open shoes, open sandals, so that they can get some air going in there. But they walk long distances. As I said, there's no taxis, there's no other form of transport. They walk very long distances. I know some of you here walk long distances. But a perfect recipe for a dirty foot is dust, some foot sweat, and some animal poop. Dirty feet. It was customary at the time for any guest who came into the house to have their feet washed. Basically, they'll take off their shoes, and the lowest of the lowest slave in the house came to wash the guest's feet, and then they walked into the house with clean feet. So, I'm going to read the scripture. John 13, 14 to 9 and 12 to 16. So, he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around them. He came to Simon Peter. You know Peter. He was the big mouth in the disciples. He said, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? He was actually quite shocked. Remember, in his mind, it's the lowest of the lowest slaves that comes to wash people's feet. So he's like, Lord, are you going to wash our feet? Jesus replied, You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash your feet, you have no part with me. Then Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Skipping to verse 12. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you? He asked them. This is Jesus. Do you understand, my disciples, what I've just done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is who I am. I am your teacher, I am your Lord. That is what Jesus is saying. Now that I, your Lord and your teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth. No servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Tony Betsy, if you can just run out for me. This morning, Kat and I would like to humbly demonstrate. Yes.
Just a quick testimony. When we were in India, we had to do something very similar. Not had to, wanted to do. There was, you know, we went to India thinking we were going on missions, we were going to serve. And when we arrived, until you, I've never seen such servant hearts. These people served us hand and foot, honestly hand and foot. They gave up their beds for us, they slept in the street, they gave us the best. They had very little and they gave it all to us. And they just tirelessly, endlessly, day in, day out. I mean, we came back from ministering, they would be there with food, with flowers, with whatever we wanted. And we just, it broke our hearts. So we wanted to honor them. So before we left, we asked that we could wash their feet. Now, like Yanni said, you know, I think in a Western culture, when we see our own feet, you know, they wear sandals, slops, as a livelihood. You know, they just, there's no way you can wear clothes, shoes in India, it's so hot. And I knelt down to wash this lady's feet. I have never seen feet like these. I'm not even kidding. They were, man, I can't explain. I have never seen athlete's foot to such a degree. It was like the grossest thing. And I was like, oh my goodness. And I had to wash them. And I had to stick my fingers between her toes and everything. And I promise you, I really got an understanding of what Jesus was saying about washing each other's feet. It's not like taking just your clean, manicured feet, you know what I mean? It's like saying, I will clean the those little stones that have got in between your toes, and I will take away every one of those things that, you know, bother you, and I'll comfort you. I mean, it's about pampering and loving each other, you know. It really brought it home to me. So, yeah.
So this morning, Kat and I would like to humbly demonstrate from a place of Christ-likeness the heart of Jesus Christ. By example, we would like to demonstrate to Fiona and Ryan the heart of Jesus Christ. This is not a show. This is not a show. This is not entertainment. This is a sign of our service and our love for this church. Thank you so much. I'd like to reiterate that it's actually very humbling to have your feet washed by someone else. I would love for Shofar Church, and particularly Shofar Franschhoek, to be the greatest church in all the world. The greatest church in all the world. And two things ring in my spirit when I say that. The first one is the words of Jesus. Whoever wants to become great must be a servant to others. The second thing that rings in my spirit is a feeling of elation and joy that I had when I got to the top of the Eiffel Tower. I'd walked up all those 2,000 steps. I got to the top and I was breathless. Breathless not only because of those 1,789 steps, not only because of the steps that I had just climbed, but because of the reward at the top. The view, 70 kilometers in every direction over the beautiful city of Paris. That was my reward for my steps. You, my brothers and sisters, will also be rewarded when you serve. Often, sometimes, when there's something going wrong in your life, the best thing to do besides pray and take it to the Lord is to go and serve somebody. It takes the focus off your own problems and helps someone else. There is a mighty, mighty blessing that happens when you serve other people. So, let's go back to last week. Last week, Kat put up a number of orange posters around our foyer, which are up there this week. I'm not forcing you. I'm not even urging you. I'm just reminding you and I'm challenging you. Let God lead you. If God leads you to one of those posters to put your names down, to serve in this church, be obedient. Be obedient. Ask Him to lay on your heart, if you haven't already established, the gifts, the natural talents that He has given you. Ask Him. Every one of you is unique, and every one of you has a unique ministry. So guess what? There's not enough posters out there to complete all the type of ministries we can get involved with. As I mentioned earlier, we went to Fleur de Lis, the old age home, to distribute those flowers. There's a massive need. There's a massive need to minister to the English people in that old age home. They are ministered by the Inheer Church, which does a fantastic job, but it's in Afrikaans. There are English people who are missing out. There are old people there who just need a friend to listen to their stories. That's just another example. You can go to the hospice, pray for the sick. You can do something more practical. Go and paint a jail cell at the police station. This is what I'm saying. God has given each one of us a level of creativity. We are unique and individual, and my ministry will never be the same as Kat's ministry, never be the same as Johnny's ministry, never be the same as Francois' ministry, never be the same as Dave's ministry. It's unique. So if you don't have a poster up there that excites you, or if God has laid something else on your heart that you want to do for His kingdom, by all means, bring it. Bring it. God will bless it. God will bless it. Can I ask you to stand, please? Daddy, we are just standing here in complete and utter awe of who You are, Lord. We thank You, Father, that we are Your children, Lord. We thank You, thank You, thank You so much for Your Son who came to, as flesh. He came as flesh from His power seat in heaven, where He had all authority over all things. He humbled Himself to come to this earth as flesh, to love us and to serve us. And we thank You, Lord Jesus, for that love. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that You demonstrated that love in so many ways, Lord. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that You, Your greatest demonstration of that love was when You hung on the cross for all of us. So we thank You, Lord, that You are here this morning, Lord. We thank You, Lord, that You are stirring in all of our hearts, Lord, where we can be of service to You. Not to this church, Lord. Not to this building. Not to Shofar. Not to Yanni and Kat. Not to show people around the community what You can do, Lord. But a service motivated by Your love. By Your love. So, Lord, we just thank You that Your Holy Spirit will show people and guide people. Their names are not on those posters, Lord. We thank You that You will give them ministries. And Lord, I know there's already ministries going on in this church that are not up there. I already mentioned Teresa and the Bells, and there's Renee and Robin as well, just to name a few, Father. We thank You, Lord, that this place, this church, will be the greatest church in Your sight, because we serve others. We put us, other people, before ourselves. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.